Being a superintendent, principal, coaches, I've always been interested in leadership and how leadership can affect groups, organizations, and how leadership can influence others, inspire others. I was researching this topic and came across an article, read it. I really thought it was a good article, and I said, man, that's a pretty good lesson right there. So I pulled out the Bible and I went through, and I'm sitting there going, I can't make this work. So I've kicked this can around for about 6 months. And Brandon last Sunday made me think. He challenged us last Sunday. He talked about the importance of taking care of your soul, not your physical body, your soul. Make sure your soul's saved. Make sure that you're doing what you can to make sure your soul's safe so you can go to heaven. And he challenged us at the end of that. He said, don't look at individuals. Look at people, not their appearances or what they do. Look at them as souls throughout the week. And Brandon, by him saying that, I think I was able to pick the can up and try to make a lesson out of it. And I appreciate that. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the importance of Christian leadership and influence. Leadership plays a role in organizations, but I don't want this to be, and the reason why I was kicking the can around, I didn't want to talk to David and Garland. This isn't about them or the elders. If that was the case, we would dismiss everyone. You could go back there in fellowship and we would talk. That's not what this is about. This is about Christian leadership of everyone in here and the influence we can have on people that we're around every day and how that influence can build the church, teach the gospel, and bring people to Christ and help save souls and make souls are saved. That's what this is about. I believe in here every one of us can be a leader, from the children to the elderly. The innocence of a child and truthfulness of a child to the wisdom of the elderly. So we're going to look at the scriptures today in this. I did a little different on the definition of leadership. There's three men here. Lord Montgomery defined it in terms of leadership as a capacity and the will to rally men and women to a common purpose and character which inspires confidence. Dr. John R. Mart, a world leader in student circles, gave his definition. A leader is a man who knows the road, who can keep ahead, and who can pull others after him. President Truman's definition, a leader is a person who has the ability to get others to do what they don't want to do and like it. Leadership is influence, the ability of one person to influence others. One man can lead others only to the extent that he can influence them. And the fact is supported through these definitions. The two types of leadership we're going to look at, I'm sure you could break it down to several types, would be a prideful leadership and servant leadership. In a prideful leadership, the characteristics, the leaders feel entitled, or people feel entitled. They feel like they're above certain duties. They feel like I'm here and other people are here. That's what prideful leaders do. In servant leadership, lead with humility. They are humble. They take the low road, not the high road. And they care about everyone. And they're interested in everyone in their organization or everyone to be successful. We're going to begin and look at a prideful leader in the fulfillment of entitlement, James 4:6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. James tells us those who submit to the wisdom and follow God's word will receive grace. God will resist the proud, and they will not receive the grace of God. So a leader who feels entitlement will not, or the entitlement or a prideful leader would be proud, and and God would resist him. Prideful leaders are above certain duties. We read this in Matthew 20:25-28. But Jesus called unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whoever be great among you, let him be your minister, and whoever be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Christian leadership is about being a servant. Much is said about being servant leaderships, not prideful leadership. Yet too many Christian leaders sometimes seem to be over-concerned with maintaining position, a job, a level of status, in control with clout rather than serving and working alongside other people. The measure of greatness is not of prestige and power or position. It is a service. Prideful leaders feel above others. For if there come unto the assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, and sit under my footstool. And are ye not then partial in yourselves, and become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Here James reminds the readers that God has made Christians who are poor in this life rich right now and rich in his kingdom forever. The goal was to convey the crucial point, treating Christian brothers and sisters, rich or poor, as men and women worthy of equal honor. When we fail to do so, he writes, we dishonor those who are poor. I went through these three things. I'm going to tell a story now. Mr. Coburn, the superintendent at Shamrock, and I was the principal. He was in our organization, the hierarchy was a superintendent, and then he took care of the custodial staff and the principals. We're kind of over them, but I was a tattletale. That's kind of how it worked. If they weren't doing their jobs or something, I went and told him, and he took care of it. And I'd go around and look, and summertime especially, I'd think, man, we need to be doing this faster. We need to be doing some things. And I was talking to him, and he always was pretty slow to speak and just listened to me. So the summer that he left, I was kind of in charge of everything before they hired somebody else. So I said, you know, he knew how to do all this stuff. I'm going to do floors with the custodians. I said, I'm going to work with them. That was the worst 14 days of my school career. The hardest working I've ever done. And if I hadn't have done that, I was going to be that prideful person. I already had the thought in my head. They're not doing what they need to be doing. They're not working hard enough. They need to be working a little faster. But after those 14 days, I learned. So if we put ourselves above others, we don't try to understand what others are going through, and we look at it from a prideful standpoint that I could do it better or they don't know what they're doing, then we get in trouble when we're trying to lead others. So we need to be careful of that. If we want to be good leaders, prideful leaders are going to run in trouble with their organizations. Now we're going to look at service leadership. They lead with humility. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, and even the death of the cross. Jesus took on the role of a servant, had the appearance and actions of man. Although unlike men, he did not sin and did not deserve to die. We should use his example, exhort one another with a kind, humble spirit and kind behavior. Also, servant leaders will take the low place. Luke 18:9-14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up as much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon the breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to the house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. Here the Pharisee was proud and felt as though God should be grateful that he was so good and committed to him. He looked down on others. He felt like he was above others. The tax collector knew words would not enhance his standing with God and relied on God's mercy and grace. Here we have the contrast between the two is pride and humility. God will bring down the proud and reward the humble. We need to remember this and not put ourselves above others, but take the low road and try to help others and bring them up. I've got a story here that kind of relates to that. At one time, Andrew Carnegie was the wealthiest man in America. He came to America from the native Scotland when he was a small boy. did a variety of odd jobs, and eventually ended up as the largest steel manufacturer in the United States. At one time, he had 43 millionaires working for him. In those days, a millionaire was a rare person. Conservatively speaking, $1 million in his day would be equivalent to at least $20 million today. A reporter asked Carnegie how he hired 43 millionaires. Carnegie responded to those men. He had not been millionaires when they started working for him, but had become millionaires as a result. The reporter's next question was, how did you develop these men to become valuable to you that you had paid them this much money? Carnegie replied, the men are developed the same way gold is mined. When gold is mined, several tons of dirt must be moved to get an ounce of gold. But one doesn't go in the mine looking for dirt and mud. One goes into the mine looking for gold. This is exactly how we need to view people. We don't need to look at flaws or blemishes or their faults. We need to look for the gold, not for the dirt, the good, not for the bad. We need to look at others' positive aspects in life like everything else. The more good qualities we look for in our people, the more good qualities we're going to find. So when we're trying to lead others, we need to look for the good qualities and bring them on, and not say that some aren't worthy and not make that judgment on their behalf. I've had a cold for about a month, so pardon. Servant leaders help everyone. We read Romans 12, 19 and 20. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Here we see that we need to help everyone, even our enemies. We need to feed the enemy and give him drink. The world's view that we see and see every day is we're supposed to help those that help us and help those that we like. We're here to help our enemies just like we would help our friends. Christians have to be able to care for all souls. We sometimes put leaders that we like and sometimes above others. We're commanded to love thy neighbor. We're commanded to love thy neighbor and care about everyone's soul. I'm going to read The Shadow of the Cross. A young man who had been raised as an atheist was training to be an Olympic diver. The only religious influence in his life came from an outspoken Christian friend. The young diver never really paid much attention to the friend's sermons, but he heard them often. One night, the diver went to the indoor pool at the college he attended. The lights were all off, but the pool had a big skylight and the moon was bright. There was plenty of light to practice by. The young man climbed to the highest diving board, and as he turned his back to the pool, on the edge of the board, he extended his arms out. He saw his shadow on the wall, the shadow of his body in the shape of a cross. Instead of diving, he knelt down and asked God to come into his life. The young man stood up. A maintenance man walked in and turned on the lights. The pool had been drained for repairs. If that Christian friend, you know the many times that he talked to the atheist, which would be considered an enemy of a Christian, because they're going to fight against everything we believe in. If that Christian friend hadn't been in his life, where would his soul be? His soul would be suffering. That's exactly where he'd be. You know, there's times we talk and we tell stories and we get frustrated. They're not going to listen. They're just mean. They're closed-minded. If that Christian friend hadn't kept telling the atheist friend about God and preaching God's word, where would his soul be? We need to help those, minister unto those, show love to those, guide those that may not necessarily be kind to us. And it's easy to help somebody that you like. It really is. But we need to, as Brandon said, look at their soul. Look at the effect look what the effect we may have on a person's soul when we're trying to help them. Christ's way of leadership. We're going to read in Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. The example our Lord Jesus Christ has set before us, we must resemble him in life if we would have the benefit of his death. We notice here there's two natures, Christ, the divine nature, and the human nature. Christ not only took upon him the likeness and fashion and the form of man, but one of a low state, not appearing in splendor. Christ deliberately chose to become a servant, and he humbled himself and was obedient unto death. We read in John 13, 5 through 14, after he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do knowest not thou, but thou shalt know thereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken the garments and sat down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done for you. Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say well, for I am so. If I then, your master Lord, have washed your feet, ye ought to wash the feet of another. Now this passage can be used for many things, but I don't want to focus in on the last. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye ought to wash one another's feet. In this passage, Christ took on the work of a slave washing the disciples' feet. Though the disciples knew what he was doing, they did not offer to help. The disciples didn't have servanthood on their minds. When we're given talents and gifts in which we can use in service, we're able to serve others on God's behalf and spread the gospel. And when we're talking about leadership, sometimes we think of you have to be ahead of an organization. I don't believe that. Like I said, the leadership can be ministering, teaching the gospel to others. If you don't have that talent, you can have the talent to help someone. You can go help someone when they're in need. And if you can't do that, you can lead by example. There's many ways we can lead others to Christ. The example we need to follow is Christ's example. And those are just two. Christ was a servant leader. He came to serve others. He didn't come to be ministered unto. He came to minister unto others. He came to help others. And he was in the low place, not the high place. And you think, why would he choose the low place? If he hadn't chosen the low place, people could say, well, he doesn't understand. It'd be like President Trump trying to pay his bills and me paying my bills. They don't understand. But he started with the lowly and went to the low place and taught there, just as we need to. Christ is a perfect example of servant leadership. I'm going to read Mark 10 and 43, but so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant for all. For even the Son of Man came and ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's servant leadership right there. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life as a ransom for many. We can read in John 15, 13, greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for us. He came and walked. He took the lowly path of man, poverty, and lived a sin-free life as an example to us and how we should lead others and live our lives. And he did that for us. We're commanded to follow Jesus' footsteps and use his example to lead others to him. Matthew 28, 18 and 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. If we're going to fulfill this commandment, we need to lead like Christ. Humble ourselves, go into the low places, and care about everyone's soul. And like Brandon challenged us last week, look at people as their soul and how we can help their soul, not just help the physical being that is earthly. All right. I'm going to end with this. You know, last month we had a school shooting. We've had several tragedies and things seem to get worse. People are troubled. This was a troubled young man, went in and killed innocent people. You turn on the news, we have protests, we have everybody calling for new laws. Let's get something new out there. And I don't have a Bible up here, but that's the law. I don't hear people saying, turn to God's word. The world's not going to say that. As Christians, we're going to have to say that. Because if that, I don't know, I can't read minds, so I shouldn't say, but I believe, Kenneth Shields believes, if that young man was worried about all those souls he shot, he wouldn't have done it. And I believe if we can be servant leaders and grow the church, grow Christianity, and spread the gospel, I believe homes will be together. Now, I believe if homes are together, I believe communities are together. I believe states, nations, the world. Nobody tells us that. You're not going to see that anywhere. And people look at other places other than here. I tried to find statistics, but I didn't trust them. So I'm going to use what my eyes told me. When I was a kid driving to Dozier to church, we went by through Shamrock and there was cars everywhere at churches. Everywhere. They built new parking lots. And now you drive through, those new parking lots are empty. That's in the Bible Belt. So as Christians, we need to be servant leaders, follow Christ's way, and guide people to right. Everybody wants a place to belong. That young man wanted a place to belong. I see it every day when kids check in our school, they're kind of looking around, where am I going to fit? A couple days, they find their place. People want to belong. Let's be servant Christian leaders for Christ and influence others to come to Christ and save souls.